And on the phone, live from the coast, none other than our good buddy JP, Joseph Prinsen, jpsguideservice.com. Good morning, Joey.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
We're doing good. Your day off, I guess. You've been dragging a rapidly, well, not so rapidly lowering. It's about as low as it can get. You got to be fired up by the rainfall that's heading your way.
Oh, I can't wait for some rain. We desperately need it. You know, it's going to really push in that biomass of waiting fish that are sitting out in the bay. So it should be pretty good once we get some rain and get wet out there.
So now you've been fishing this basically bone dry Hump Tulips River for the last week or so. Before we get to the rain, the upcoming, I want to talk just briefly about the challenge of fishing that river. It's just, there's been no water in it. Can you briefly talk about some of the stuff you've been using out there? Because you've had a lot of success on the hump with basically no water in it. Really challenging conditions. Can you talk about real quick some of the things you've been doing to hook fish out there, JP?
Yeah, I wake up every morning and drink two rock stars and a bunch of protein shakes because you're going to be battered pushing your boat through all those shallow spots every day. I mean, she's running pretty much like a summertime height, and I have a 17 by 60 Willie. It's pretty decked out, so she's heavy, and it's pretty fun to push it through all the spots. But if you anchor your boat above holes that you know have fish, get out and walk down to them. You don't pick up all the dirt and silt and rocks that the fish know you're coming. So knowing the holes is a real key. And there's always, in low water, there's always a daylight bite. So the fish are real finicky. Once that sunlight hits that hole about 10 o'clock, she'll shut down for a couple hours. So what I try and do is find a hole that has surface cover, surface break, riprap on the surface, so fish really feel secure in low water. They've got something above them like a ceiling. And it seems to me like the biting fish are going to have surface cover. They've really been targeting holes that have moving water, which is hard to find in low water, and that have some surface breaks that feel secure.
Such a huge point right there. Anytime you've got low, clear water, surface disturbance acts like shade on the water. It just reduces the light's penetration through the water column, and so those fish are going to just be that much more aggressive. So, and your point about walking down to the holes is very well taken. I mean, you know, if you had a raft, I'm sure you'd be using it rather than the drift boat right now. Just to, I'm sure you've had a few days that you've had to drag your boat over some of these riffles, Joe.
Oh yeah, no. The raft, if you have a raft or a light glass boat, it's real key right now on the coast. I think the average or the median flow for the last 11 years on the historical water data is upwards of 500, somewhere around 400 to 500, and we are under like 160 right now and on the drop.
Yeah.
So it's not typical for this time of year to have this kind of rainfall, which is zero.
Yeah, one thing we talked about back in the last year at the Daiwa Tech Line was twitch and jigs, and whether you're fishing a bone dry river like you've been experiencing there on the Hump Tulips, or a river with some water in it, which we're probably going to see here this next week. A bunch of rain coming in. Twitch and jigs is a go to technique, whether it's low and clear or you got some water. Can you talk about, you know, some of the weights you use and maybe some of the color patterns that work pretty good out there, and kind of how you set them up a little bit to hook some of those finicky fish out there, JP?
Yeah, you can target kings, opal, or actually anything with twitch and jigs. But if I'm going to fish kings with twitch and jigs, I usually go to about a 4-inch hoochie skirt in purple and black, purple and cerise, basically any skirt, really. Those kings don't really care that much. There's one in particular. It's a white skirt that turns iridescent purple in the water. It's just been lethal. But for kings, the particular weight is half ounce. I really like that half ounce weight. Sometimes, and depending on the hole, 3/4, you just can't lift your tip a lot real fast because it'll really move up and down too hard. But for those big holes, I go to half ounce, and for the average hole, the 3/8 head. And for coho, I mean, marbu is great, but I still use sushi jigs. They're so easy to slide them out of the top of the head there and ready to fish.
So you're looking typical bullet head jigs. Where do you get these things, Joe? Because a lot of guys have a real difficulty sourcing these things because you need a heavy hook. You need a nice big chunk of lead on there. Has to be the right shape to fit inside the hoochie, you know. Name names. Give me your source. Where are you getting these things?
Well, I got a little beer drinking party over here at my buddy's house.
There you go.
Some more scuba diving lead and boil it up and pour them on some 2 to 3-aught hooks, pending kings or coho. I always like to have a heavy hook. Something that's not too heavy that you can't bend over on the log and get your jig back if you want to bend it open with 50-pound braid and get it back. But, yeah, buying your hooks online is huge. You save a lot of money if you can order them in a 200-pack or something like that. Just find some lead laying around the house or buy some off Craigslist. You can heat it up and then just pour your jigs at home if you're going to use a quantity like me. I probably go through 500 jigs every two seasons. I usually do a pour every two seasons, and that's huge. Thorco's got a few. I particularly like the round heads, the round head jigs, just because they slide into the hoochie head so easy. And, you know, the football head jigs, if you're going to use marble, are nice because they actually have a darting motion when you twitch. They'll go left, they'll go right, they'll go up and down. And if you're going to use a hoochie jig, you don't need that. The round head goes into the hoochie skirt, and the hoochie skirt will do the left and right, up and down motion.
So the three types we're talking about here, bullets, round head, and football. Football, they kind of extend out to the side of the hook a little bit more. The round head, obviously, but then the bullet heads tend to hold that skirt on, which isn't really an issue. So when you're pouring them, Joe, which shape do you prefer out of those three?
The round seems, for me, that's just what I use, I guess. You can get it to dart with the skirt, with the hoochie skirt. You can get it just to go flat up and down if you want it, because it's round. It doesn't go left and right. Like you said, the bullet heads there do dart left and right. And the football head, you know, I haven't particularly jigged those a lot. I know the bass guys like them, and they are a great, great jig. I see them on the river a lot. But the mold that I bought is a round head mold. It seems to work pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with you, JP. The round heads, and then the bullet heads tend to work for me. I don't like the bullet head. Yeah, the football heads, they kind of tend to roll over a little bit and they act funny out. They just don't look right.
The skirt doesn't sit on them right.
Yeah. Now, what about Vibrex spinners? Now, a lot of guys are rigging up hoochies on their spinners, and I got to talk to you yesterday a little bit about some of the spinners you're using. And I've always been a fan of big Vibrexes, number fives, but you're actually throwing fives and sixes. You've taken it a step further and rigging up some hoochies on some just ginormous Vibrexes, and you're even doing that in the low clear water. Talk about maybe some of the colors and some of the stuff you're doing with your Vibrexes to make them work for fall salmon.
Oh, yeah, no, four, five, and six is always in the shopping cart wherever I'm at. And, you know, I really do like sliding hoochie skirts on all the sizes because you can easily take them off if you need to. The best way to do it is I really like the number five bright pink Vibrax with a bright pink skirt. It's just a really go-to spinner on the Hump-Tillich River. It works really good for King's Coho, Chum, anything. But what I do is get the spinner, open the box up, cut off the treble hook, take a 2-inch hoochie skirt, which are really cheap. I buy the P-line ones. I think they're like $1.20 for six. They're a 2-inch skirt, and you get 2.5. And then you just slide the skirt onto the regular single hook and then go right up into the top of the hook eye. Hook the hook eye into the back of the spinner and then close the hook eye on top of the skirt, pinching it onto the hook. So that way you've got a hoochie spinner set up on the hook, doesn't come off. Fish occasionally will tear it off if you hook a 4 or 5 fish, but that was worth the skirt anyway.
Yeah. Oh, bummer. Yeah.
Yeah, big bummer.
So open eye, we're talking open eye Siwash hooks.
They come with the hook. I use the Mustad open eye Siwashes, which have a big eye. You can shove that thing in there and you cramp it down pretty hard. And it does, JP, it clamps that hoochie right in there and it keeps them from sliding down. So.
Yeah, you know, at first I started experimenting with some of the Gamagatsu open eye Siwash hooks, and they're great. I really put those factory hooks to the test on the Blue Fox spinners. They kind of look a little funky, but they work pretty good. I'm not going to lie. They landed a lot of fish, and they seem to hold up pretty well, so I haven't actually been swapping them out lately. But another go-to color, I think for some reason the Kings really like this color combination. I don't know why, but they do. It's the Chartreuse spinner, number 5 or number 6, depending on the water conditions, with a pink skirt. That contrast really helps when you throw something in the water, two different colors. Fish sometimes really respond to it. Work a hole with a solid color spinner with, you know, pink and pink skirt. Throw in that chartreuse with a pink skirt.
I love chartreuse for Chinook. I mean, saltwater, freshwater, doesn't matter. Chartreuse and Chinook, it just seems to go together, man. You know,
yeah. Chartreuse and pink's a great cut. Some of my favorite quick fish, chartreuse and cerise, or chartreuse and pink, dynamite. Now, we haven't talked a whole lot about eggs. That's a whole different conversation we can have with you later, because fish and eggs under a float out there obviously works really good, too. But I'm fond, especially when the cohos are charging up, these big fall cohos. twitching jigs and throwing spinners, man. It just, we talked about it earlier. It's like bass fishing on the river. I mean, it's so fun.
But, yeah, I mean, bait in low water, though, I mean, do you really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a hoot. You can't beat a spinner bite. You can feel them sometimes push the spinners where all of a sudden you feel the blade stop turning. And that's when the fish has it in its mouth and it's coming at you and the nose of the fish has stopped the blade from turning. And it hasn't quite turned yet, but you know he's got it, and you either set the hook and get him or set the hook and don't have him. It's a lot of fun. And the twitching jig bite, you can't beat that. All of a sudden, the rod just gets ripped out of your arms.
Now, we got some rain coming. We've been talking technique here a little bit, but we got some rain coming. I'm sure, I know where I'll find you, probably somewhere on the Hump Tulips this next week. Boy, it should be pretty good out there. You guys have been fishing the bottom end, but this fishery should spread out across the whole river here this next week with the water coming up. Do you foresee things blowing out there on the coast? Do you think you're going to get through this big rain here without too big of a blowout?
It's so hard to tell out there. I've been out there where they call a quarter inch of rain coming and it rained 2.5 inches in a coffee cup overnight. Feel like you're going to need to put your life jacket on at the hotel. But yeah. No, I'm hoping it does kind of get near the punch level. That ground is very dry from this Indian summer, so it is going to be like a sponge. It's going to suck up the water real fast, and that river will drop on a dime. So we kind of need the steady 3 or 4 days of rain like you're predicting, but I don't think it's going to punch too bad. I think it might punch, but once she gets a spike over 1,000 CFS, it seems like those fish take 24 hours to get from the 109 lower drift down there by the salt all the way into the hatchery reach. So, yeah, it should be really good. And the season started great. I mean, we've got a lot of coho out there this year for low water conditions. So the coho run looks really strong. I'm expecting a good November.
Yeah, and then, of course, that's going to lead you right into winter steelhead, too. And, man, it's that time of year. I mean, you know, you look forward to this. But, you know, coming from a seasonal low flow, this influx of water right now, in your mind, you expect to see some of the fastest action of the year if you get, you know, that inch of rain that you're hoping for that, you know, takes it right to the edge and then just holds it there for a few days?
Yeah, no, it should be stellar if we get that kind of rain. If she comes up over 1,000, gets to that 2 or 3 margin, stays there for 24 hours, maybe even 38 hours or something like that, it should be lights out and really good. We got that little bit of rain. I think it's been 2 weeks ago now. The river went up to almost 3,000, and she dropped overnight down to like 1,500 when I got in the river. I couldn't believe it, and it was lights out Chinook fishing. I mean, literally lights out Chinook fishing.
Yeah.
Like we broke 2 rods that day on big fish and smiled the whole time.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that type of action this week.
Bet.
You know, we're heading off to hunt deer in eastern Washington, but I tell you what, I'm looking at the middle of next week. You might just see me sneaking around out there in the pre-dawn hour somewhere looking for a big king or a coho here this next week because it's go time, and I know it's going to be busy. There's a lot of folks kind of like me that have been waiting for this rain, but there's going to be plenty of fish. You guys have already experienced just tremendous fishing out there with horrible water conditions. Now that we got some rain, man, it's going to be lights out. So look forward to maybe keeping in touch with you here this next week. If you get a big king here on this big rain event, definitely send me a photo, and I'll be in touch with you early next week, buddy, to see what's shaking.
Oh, I will, Rob. I hope you get out there and bend a couple of rods, man. It's going to be good.
All right. Well, have a great day off. Get some more of those Hoochie spinners and Hoochies rigged up, and we'll catch you next week, buddy.
Thanks, Joseph. He's Joseph Princeton. Go check out the website, jpsguideservice.com. And, yeah, man, you want a great experience. Go out there with JP. He's kind of one of the best, outdoor line young guns.
He came up awful quick.
He did,
I mean, one of the reasons why, because he works his tail off.
He really works
hard to make sure you have a great trip, whatever. I need more coffee, Thomas.
You'll be just fine.
Yeah.
You'll be just fine.